what happens when people have their cell phones on during Stephen Reichlin's performance. But that's okay, sir. You're wearing a pink shirt. You'll get over it. Okay, my friends.
It's not his phone.
Oh, it's somebody else's phone. I'll diss them later. Anyway, welcome back to Le Cordon Green. This is really an exciting honor for us. It's the Big Green Egg Culinary Center. If you get a chance, they have the most amazing grilling. Have you ever seen the ceilings open up and the walls drop down for barbecue?
Just at the Marlins Stadium in Miami for baseball.
But, and not at Casa Reichlin and Martha's Vineyard? You don't have that?
Nah, we like the fresh air, the open air out
there. There we go. Anyway, Stephen Reichlin is our special guest. Chef Eric, I know you've been thrilled. I mean, just watching you just absorb all of that.
I'm absorbing all of this.
Smoked tequila.
I'm actually celebrating National Pickle Week.
Oh, are you? Well, yeah, I thought that was very clever of Stephen to have a cucumber in there.
Yeah, pickling myself. I thought that would be a good idea. With a little mezcal, perfect.
Well, we last left Stephen. He was telling us, he explained to us exactly what camemberts and soft cheese are made from. So without further ado, Mr. Reichlin, sir, it's all yours, Leviathan, oh great one.
Okay, so camembert cheese goes in the center of the planks. You can also buy planks that are square, which are even more suitable for the size here. And then I have pepper jelly, which I'm going to spread in an even layer on top. So you have a little heat, you have a little sweet.
And this is just typically your store-bought
pepper jelly.
Whatever you
although I know what you're thinking because my brain sort of works the same way.
Don't say that.
Wouldn't it be interesting if instead of using American-style pepper jelly, we got Thai nam prik, right? Yeah, pepper jelly, which would add a whole different complexion. Now, next thing I want to do, I have thinly sliced jalapeno chilies, which I have just thinly sliced.
what a quick knife you have.
It's amazing how quick you are.
Good. And then I'm just going to fan the... you know, my wife used to have... My wife had hosted one of the first ever radio cooking shows. And I used to watch her with amazement how that she'd put a microphone next to an electric frying pan so you'd capture the skillet, the clatter of the knives on the cutting board.
Yep.
It's called Let's Get Cooking. And she had Wolfgang Puck on back before he was sort of international superstar, Rocky Aoki. And I love radio. I love radio because it's vivid, but it leaves much to the imagination.
And by the way, my dishes are always perfect on radio. The presentation is just, you know, picture
phenomenal.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And see, Chef Eric and I constantly get emails about how perfect we are for radio in our looks.
Okay.
See, now you look good on television, and you've got a show right now that's starting its second season.
It does. On Memorial Day, it is called Project Smoke 2, and we are just smokier than ever. Anyhow, folks, so here's your setup. Now, conventional wisdom would hold that we would indirect grill this over a high heat. If you want to live dangerously, you could actually direct grill this because we only seared one side. What we want to do is cook it long enough to make the cheese melt, split, that beautiful melted camembert come oozing out, and the jalapenos to lose their fire, get a little fire on them. So let's take that out, and I believe you'll bring me back one that is on the grill already.
Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever done any provoletta?
Provoletta is great. That, of course, is Argentina's classic grilled cheese.
Yeah.
It's a sort of provolone-like cheese, only made in Argentina, brushed with olive oil, sprinkled with hot pepper flakes, and
some
dried
oregano. Yep.
And then cooked on the bars of the grate just long enough for the cheese to start melting through. Got a question. Do you flour your cheese first to keep it from sticking to the grate?
I don't.
Or do you just oil the grate well?
I oil the grate well, but... flouring it would be an interesting thing to do. I haven't seen that before.
Okay, so folks, here's your cheese once it comes off the grill. I give it the Charmin test, that is I just kind of squeeze it gently on the sides. Come on in. Liz, come on over here. Let's get a nice close-up of that because that is really, you see, it is squeezably soft on the side. And in order to serve this, you would simply cut a wedge of cheese. We have crackers for you to try the cheese with today, but in fact, I would take a baguette. Okay.
Wow. This is
let's see.
Oh, man.
They're too busy eating to be giving you your sound effects.
That is really nice, right? Because you got the creaminess and pungency of the cheese. You got the sort of sweet pepper jelly and then the heat of the jalapeno. So A lot going on, plus the smoke from the cedar plank.
Now, Stephen, when you're doing the jalapeno, you're leaving the membrane and the seeds in. You're not taking those out, so this is going to have a little bit more of a kick.
Hey, I'm in Atlanta. These people can tolerate heat.
Oh, plenty.
Right? Come on,
well, not only that, you've got the sweetness of the pepper jelly.
Yeah. And really, when you cook a first of all, jalapenos are very low down on the Scoville scale. I mean, when you think that a Scotch bonnet is about 300,000 Scovilles and a jalapeno is about 5,000 Scovilles, that's a measure of heat. We're not talking about something that's very spicy.
Talking about working with peppers like that, I know it was at one time the Carolina Creeper. I call it Creeper because once you eat it, it creeps up on you and you spend hours losing it. But when you're cooking with it, is there a point where the Scovilles are too much to you?
I have a high tolerance for heat. So, I mean, I suppose if I wouldn't want to eat a whole ghost pepper or anything. But it's I don't know that I've ever met a chili that was too hot for me.
There are some new chilies out there now that are approaching 3 million Scoville. And that may be the final point. But the Carolina Reaper is actually very citrusy, floral sort of flavor to it.
Yeah, and at 1.5 million Scoville, you know, I don't really think your taste bad. Ooh, my, how fruity.
No, you do actually taste it. I mean, depending on your taste buds, I suppose, and how they're configured and whatnot, but...
Well, you know, you bring up a good point, which is, please, let's remember that chilies are not just about heat, okay? There's always an underlying flavor, something like the Scotch bonnet or the ghost pepper or the creeper, which I think are all members of the habanero family. Yeah. There is a floral, fruity sort of apricot flavor.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, at any rate, I hope you all enjoyed the camembert. A little bit quiet. That might be
they're stuffing their face. That's typically what's
the quietest time at the zoo, Stephen, is always feeding time. But let's talk a little bit before we get into the next recipe. Let's talk a little bit of grill etiquette. Let's talk about some of the number one things. Let's say the top four or five things that you recommend every single grill person should do if you're going to be cooking for yourself or, more importantly, for friends.
Okay. Well, first of all, what I call good grill hygiene, and that means that you should always start with a clean grill. So I recommend firing your grill up, getting it really hot, brushing the grate with a stiff wire brush to remove any debris, then taking a folded paper towel or rolled up cotton cloth, dipping it in oil, drawing that across the bars of the grate. Now that does two things. Number one, it oils the grate so that you'll prevent sticking. Number two, even more important, it cleans the grate. So if there are any leftover debris, you know, there's been a lot of press lately about stray bristles from grill brushes that wind up in your food and in your stomach. And that, you know, I mean, I've even seen a stray bristle on my grill. So I have a line of grilling accessories called Best of Barbecue, and one of our tools is we call it the ultimate grill brush. It has a 3-foot handle, so it keeps you away from the fire. So we redesigned that brush head, and we anchored the bristles in a twisted wired armature, so it takes about 24 pounds of pressure to pull them out. But that extra oiling step is another way to make sure that there's no harmful debris on your grill grate. So keep it hot, keep it clean. Last step, keep it lubricated. That is, oil your grill grate. That prevents sticking, helps give you more defined
grill. What would you think would be the percentage of people that actually do that? Because I'm going to ask the audience, and we'll see how truthful they are.
I am sure that everybody here in this audience does that.
Okay, now that you set up the great lie, how many people out there, before you grill each and every time, do exactly what Stephen recommended? There are two... three liars out there. Okay, so you can see the percentages are very low, so this is something you need to teach.
Well, this is a message that I have been singing for a long time. But there sort of is a misconception, and it's actually a misconception mostly among people that have a Y chromosome, and that is the remnants of last week's salmon or the stray squirrel that got caught in your grill somehow the week after adds flavor to your grilling. No. And in general, I found that if your spouse thinks it's disgusting, it is disgusting, and it should be avoided.
You know, one additional step that I like to do, especially with the Big Green Egg, because you can get to such high temperatures, is after I'm done with the egg, I'll crank it up basically as high as I can, and let it get up to 700-800 degrees, and then I'll hit it with a brush at that time, and then shut it down.
You know, I'm so glad you said that, because that keep it hot, clean, and lubricated should be practiced before the grilling session and also after the grilling session.
And for those of you who are interested, since you'll be using a lot more charcoal, Big Green Egg has it right here at the retail center. You can get a 20-pound bag very, very easily. It's all about food. It's all about fun. It's all about celebrating the good life. We are celebrating National Brisket Day, the end of National Pickle Week, and National Hamburger Day with the Leviathan of Live Fire, Stephen Reichlin. Let's give it up. When we come back, more food, baby.